into the promised land. And so he's going to give them some instruction. And here in Deuteronomy, you find what you do in Exodus about the Ten Commandments. And there in Deuteronomy chapter 5, he's just gone through all of the same Ten Commandments there as well. And so he's going to give his final address to the people of Israel just before they go into the promised land. Now, you might say he's going to give them some farewell survival techniques going into the promised land. Because remember now, the enemy is over there. And the enemy, the people that God is going to give the land to Israel to, they don't want God any way, shape, or form. And that, so that's why God is removing them and giving the land to Israel as well. Because God had worked with them, pleaded with them, and yet they still refused, rejected, and so forth. And so God said, I'm done with them. And so now he's going to move Israel and give them the land. So it's not going to be an easy task for the children of Israel. Moses knew that they were entering into a land that didn't care about serving God. Therefore, in order for them to survive, they needed to arm themselves with the Word of God. And so our society today could care less about serving God as well. Our society today is more than just the fact that they don't want to serve God, but they also don't want you serving God either in the land in which they live as well. Do you find that true? You know, in our circles of community now today, and what you see on the news and so forth, it's not so much that they don't want God. They don't want us having God either, because they don't want any type of influence, shape, or form upon them either. Can our home stand in a world that seeks to tear it down? Can your home thrive instead of just survive? They can if fathers and mothers stop building their homes with cheaper materials from this world and begin remodeling their homes with the Word of God, because that's what will make for a strong home. If we ever expect to improve our homes and raise up godly children that will lead the next generation for Christ, we had better listen to what Moses has to say. Now, In the real estate business, you get a buyer, and we have a certain process that we go through. And one of the things that they can get is they have an option to choose a home inspection if they wanted. And so the home inspector comes, and the home inspector looks over the whole house from top to bottom, inside and out, those type of things. And then he gives a report. Now, he does not give them a pass or fail. He tells them, I'm telling you the condition of the home. That's what I'm telling you. The condition of the home. It's up to you as to what you do with the report based on the condition that I have found. Dare I say, this is what we're going to find today as well, is the fact that the Word of God reveals to us the condition of our home. It's up to us to do something about it, to make the changes and the improvements that need to be, the repairs that need to be made. And so this is why I've entitled it Home Improvement. How can you build a quality home that'll count for Christ? First of all, you must follow the plan for the family. You need to follow the plan for the family. Most of you are familiar with the story of the three little pigs. You're familiar with those. You know, each one followed a plan to build their house. And one said, I'm going to build it out of straw. And it was quick and it was easy. It was fast. He's up and he's done and he's on his way down at the beach and he's kicked back relaxing, okay? And then the other one said, well, I'm going to do a little better than that. I'm going to build mine with sticks and a little bit of wood and so forth. And so that took me just a little bit longer. But now I'm up in the mountains and I'm enjoying the weather. And then the last one says, well, that's no good. I'm going to build mine out of bricks, nice, solid, strong. And it took him a long time. Again, day after day after day, sweating, and he finally got it done, and he moved into it. Oh, life is just great. He didn't get to go on vacation, but if you remember the story, the only house that withstood the big bad wolf was the one who built his home out of bricks, who took the time to build it with quality. We, too, must also follow the plan for the family that God has for you and I. You can build your home according to the ways of the world, but don't expect it to stand against the big bad Satan. Don't expect it to stand against society. Don't expect it to stand against your own self and your own sin, because it won't. It will fall flat every time. You must build according to God's plan for the family. What is God's plan for the family? I'm glad you asked. First of all, God's plan for the family is the fact that parents must possess God's Word. Parents must possess God's Word. Verse 2. Notice what it says. He says that thou mightest, talking to Israel, We'll get back to verse 1. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, and all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. And so, that thou mightest fear the Lord God, he says. To fear the Lord. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so when you come to examine the Lord and you realize who He is and what He's done and the fact that He loves you and He gave His Son Jesus to die on the cross for your sin, and you embrace that, that's the fear of the Lord, the respect of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord, the relationship with the Lord there. It said that's the beginning of wisdom. And so the parents need to possess the Word of God. The best manual on how to build a rock-solid foundation in a shifting society comes from the one who designed the family, and that's God. God has given us everything that His Word, in His Word, to parents need for home improvement. It's found right here. You know, when I was growing up, and I can remember it's back before I became a parent, but Dr. Spock and all those things, you know, that were out there, you know, and some crazy things that were being espoused there, and that was the ways of the world. And so if God has given us everything that we need for home improvement, then so why don't we have better built homes? Why don't we have better built, why don't we have godly homes? Parents no longer spend time in God's Word. We've traded luxuries for learning. We're watching movies instead of meditating on the Word of God. To improve your home, you don't need to buy new paint and hang new curtains, and you need to possess the Word of God. That's what's needed in our homes today. Do you memorize and meditate on God's Word? Parents need to know your children need to know where you find the solutions to the your children have problems such as anger issues. You see, don't look to the world, don't chat GPT it. You open the Bible. The KJV is what you need, and to look into the Word of God. And your children say, hey, they need to know, you know, where you learn and how you deal with forgiveness when there's somebody that's done them wrong. You see. And you need to possess the Word of God. When they become selfish, and you can open up the Bible and say, hey, this is thus saith the Lord. And so this is why I don't do it, and this is why you're not to do it, because this is what God has said. And so you possess the Word of God. Not only do you know and reverence God, but you have embraced His Word as well. And you hide it in your heart as well. Home improvement begins with the parents possessing the Word of God. But I also want to point this out as well. And so take a look with me at verse 2 again. And he says, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and commandments, which I command thee, thou, he said, that's you. Notice what he says next. And thy son. So, for illustration purpose, you got Brother Robert. He says, this is for you. This is thou and thy son, and thy son's son, which would be Alan. You see that? And so we as parents, we can't say, well, you know, I've done my job, I've raised them, I've removed them from the house, and they're out, they're gone, they're not my responsibility anymore. That's not what Moses just said. And so as grandparents, we still have that responsibility to make sure that we possess the Word of God so that we can promote it and pass it along as well. We're not off the hook just because they may not be in our home. Dare I say, if you've got these three generations, and they continue three generations and three generations, don't you think we'd have a lot stronger home today in the Word of God? If it wasn't broken somewhere and somebody dropped the ball, so to speak. You see how that works? This is a great responsibility. This is what's needed in our homes today, is that dad and son and grandson, and it continues right on down the line. As each one passes on, you pass it forward, you see, again and again, in each generation to come. It's not happening today. Dare I say, what's happening is, and I'm getting off track here, what's happening today is that dad lives his life for the Lord, and I'm not talking about the Lacombs now, but dad lives his life for the Lord, The son begins to grow, and he's got a family, but he's not as committed as dad, okay? And he lets some things slide and slip and so forth. And then he teaches his son, but his son's watching all this sliding and slipping that's going on. And you know what happened then? Then he's even less than what grandpa was over here in his relationship. That's what's happening. That's what's wrong with our homes today, is that you need to possess the Word of God. That's the plan of God. Parents need to possess the Word of God, but parents also need to practice the Word of God as well. Take a look in verse 1. He says, "Now these are the commandments and statutes and judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you." He said, the God has commanded me to teach you these commandments, and so that's the law, these statutes, and so these are some of the how-to of follow the law, and what's going to happen after that if you don't, and that's the judgments that come. And he says, God has commanded me to teach you, Israel, that you might do them in the land whither thou go to possess. That you might do them. As parents, we can't tell our kids what to do and then not to do it ourselves. That too is what's going on. Don't do as I do. Do as I say. I'm allowed to do it because I'm a grown-up. I'm an adult. And you get to be my age. You can set aside God's word and you can do what you want. But you, right now, that doesn't work. That doesn't work at all. You've got to practice it yourself. The word do there means to accomplish. It means to observe. It means to apply it. You can't force your principles on your children any more than you can make them eat liver and turnips. You ever try to force a kid to eat something they just wasn't going to eat? You're going to sit there until you eat that. I had two boys that would sit there for 24 hours straight, and they didn't care. They were not going to eat it. And so there was no forcing it on them at all. And so it just doesn't happen. But you can influence their decision by adopting your beliefs through your daily practice of God's Word and God's ways. Dads, when the TV, you know, turn off the TV if the program is filled with sin. Let them say, oh, God doesn't want us watching this program, and so you turn it off. You say, well, I don't have children in the home. Do you have co-workers in the home? Do you have neighbors in the home? And you say, oh, we can't. I'm not watching that because God doesn't. That's not godly. You see that? Grandchildren in the home. Oh, no, we can't watch that. And off it's got to go. But mom lets me watch it. Grandpa does not. Yeah. You want to watch it? Get home. And once you go home, mom can let you watch it all that she wants. But right here, right now, this is what we're going to do because this is who I am in life. You see? It's the only way to teach them is we've got to practice that which we possess. And so they need to hear mom and dad, you know, treat each other with respect in the home as well. As a parent, we must dedicate our lives to learning and living the Word of God and God's ways. And then finally, we see here parents need to promote God's will as well. Verse 7, that thou should teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when they sittest in thine house, and when they walkest by the way, and when they liest down, and when thou risest up. It says, according to this passage, it is not, let me say again, it is not the school, it is not the neighbors, it is not even the church's responsibility to teach your children. It is your responsibility. Now, the Sunday school teacher can reinforce in the class what you're teaching at home. That's how it's supposed to work. That's God's plan. God says, I'm going to give you the gift of this child. It's up to you to teach them my word. That's your responsibility, dad, grandpa, mom, grandma. That's great grandma. That's your responsibility. Okay? You can't say, well, I'm going to go to another church because they're not teaching my kids. No, that's not their responsibility. They're just simply to reinforce what's going on. Okay? And so you can only do that. God has entrusted you with them and expects you to promote His Word, His ways into their life and in your home as well. Regardless of what they do, they won't listen. Do it anyway. That's your responsibility. Their responsibility is to learn and to take it in. Besides, you never know, especially with the younger ones, what impression you're making on their heart. Even if you give it a good tough fight there as well, they'll know that you're not going to give in. You're going to stand your ground because that's what you possess. That's what you practice. That's what you promote in your life. And by the way, that applies outside the home as well. Wherever you go in life, and do the same thing. Possess it. Practice it. Promote God's Word wherever you go as well. Why is it that parents know how important it is to take time to teach their children how to drive a car, and then won't take the time to teach their children how to drive their lives for Christ? Think about that. You say, well, I don't want them getting into an accident, hurting themselves. Well, if they're not driving their lives for Christ, they could get hurt far worse. They could suffer a whole lot worse in life. This is something that we have got to do. If we're going to see any home improvement, we've got to follow God's plan, beginning with the parents giving their lives to Jesus Christ, living out their faith, and then passing it on to the younger generation as well, or anyone round about them as well. How can you build a quality home that'll count for Christ? Let's take a look. Point number two, you must lay the foundation that's provided for the family. Take a look. Verses 4 and 5. Take a look. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." And we'll stop right there for just a minute. Man had a crack in his wall. Okay? And so there it was, came down the wall, and he says, "Oh, I need to hire a painter." That's what I need, painters that can fix anything. And so he got the painter come in, and he kind of scratched it out a little bit, and he put some plaster on there, and he let it dry, and he sanded it off, and he painted it, you know, and the guy paid him, and the guy was happy. Week later, he calls the painter and says, "Hey, I got a problem. The crack is still there." Okay, you ever have those cracks? And the crack is still, it came right back. And the old painter says, "I'm sorry about that." And he came back, and he scratched it out a little bit, and he kind of muddled it over, let it dry, sanded it off, painted it, on he went. 2 weeks later, his crack is right back again. There it is again. Same crack. It's like, the painter is no good. He's worthless. That's what he is. And so I'm going to hire a new painter. And so the new painter comes out, and he said, "Well, there it is." And he looked at the crack, and he said, "Sorry, I can't help you. You don't have a problem with cracks in your wall." Man said, "What do you mean? It's right there. You can see it." He said, "Oh, I see that crack, but that's not your problem. Your problem is a weak foundation. Until you fix that, the crack is always going to come back again and again and again." And so we can see the social and moral cracks everywhere in our society, can we not? Because the foundation was never built. The foundation is weak. It's soft. The cracks that we're seeing are only the effects of a weak foundation in homes and in societies. You know, you look at homes and you wonder, what in the world's going on? There's no foundation. There's no solid foundation there. And so that's why he says we need to lay the foundation that provided for the family, the one that God has provided. Until we shore up the foundation, there's always going to be cracks. There's always going to be problems. There's probably no foundation that needs to be strengthened more than the family home. And so what are some of those foundational stones that we must lay? I'm glad you asked. Verse 4 again. First of all, we see the great revelation. The great revelation. One Lord. Notice he says here in verse 4, he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Now, if you're familiar with the King James Bible, and you'll see that the word Lord there is all capitalized, okay? And they did that so we would know just what Hebrew word that was. Because sometimes you'll see it in capital L-O-R-D. Different Hebrew word. The word Lord there means Yahweh. Yahweh means and this is free, by the way, this highfalutin, you know, language study type thing. This is about all I really know. Okay. And so, but you'll see it throughout the Old Testament. You'll see it all caps. And that's the word there. And it says the word Lord there means the all eternal self-existing one. That God, it's Yahweh, that God needs it. No one, any anything else in life. He is all powerful, almighty, all eternal, self-existing one. He does not depend on anyone or anything else. And notice the word God there. The word God, capital G-O-D, that is the word Elohim. It means three in one. It's where we get the Trinity back in Genesis. And God said, let there be light. God, the Trinity, Elohim, the three in one, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And so he says, oh, hear, O Israel, the Lord, the self-existent, eternal, three in one is one God, one Lord. What he's trying to tell them here is that he is not a God among gods. He being the Father, the Son, and Spirit, working in unity together, is unique, and he's unlike anyone, anything else, as far as time and eternity is concerned. This is what he's talking about here. And so he says, verse 5, and he says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. What's needed is a sincere love. That's how you love God, is with a sincere love. With all thine heart, it says. And so what we find here, let me see, are we where I'm supposed to be? There's Revelation, one Lord. Yes, and this is how we love God. It was a sincere love, with all thine heart. And the word heart there means your desires. Okay, your emotion as well. Our children need to see homes that have parents with a sincere love for God. That's what's needed. You know, we can come here to church, we can go through the motions, and we can go back home, and then we get angry, we do this, we do that, and then we come back to church, we put on the Christian face, and there we go. But no, what we need is a sincere passion for God in our homes. Something that's genuine. Sincere. Jesus said this, spoke of those who honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And so we're to love the Lord thy God, he says, with all your heart, he said. Your children can spot a phony a mile away. A fake. They can see it. You may fool the preacher. You may fool the church members. You'll never fool your children. They know whether you're sincere, whether you're genuine or not, in your desire for the Lord as well. And they know if you love Him with all of your heart, because He's manifest day in and day out in your life. Second way in which you can love the Lord is with a selfless love as well. Verse 5 again. And he says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. And notice it says, and with all thy soul, or with thy soul, he says. Your soul, that is your decision-making process. You know, when you're selfless, that means when God says, I want you to get up and go to church. I don't feel good. I want you to get up and you need to go to church. But it's raining outside. I want you to give to the missions fund today. Oh, man, I don't know. I've been saving up for that new fishing pole. And so, but no, you see, if those who have a selfless love, it is God, whatever it is that you want, that's what I'm going to do. No questions asked. I don't even have to debate anyone about it, not even myself. I'm going to do it because that's the kind of love that I have. It is a selfless love for you. You need to give yourself to God. No area should be left off limits to God. Third, we see a strong love. It says, with all thy might, he says, and it finishes off verse 5. So with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, your determination in life. This is going to happen. God, I've tried. It's not going to work. No, determination. God has placed it upon your heart. This is what God's Word says. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. God, give me the strength to get this done, because that's where my heart is to do what you want me to do. That's the kind of love he tells us that we need to possess. And so there is a revelation. There's one Lord. Not a one to pick from out there. But there's one that you're to serve. And there's a response to that revelation. And that is love. And then we see there's a responsibility now as well. Verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. That is, hide my... Psalmist said that I'll hide thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And so he says there, he says, where was I there? Verse 6. Verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou raisest up as well. Our homes are to be law schools. The law of God. That's what's needed in our homes today. The professors are to be moms and dads. Primarily the father is what God places the responsibility for. I know that when I mention using the Bible in your home, it probably brings back some memories of the black and white TV. And you say, oh, that was years ago. We've progressed a lot further. Now we've got 4K, 8K, or whatever K it is. You know, who cares? But we've got all that K and color and bright and this and that and the other. You can almost reach in and grab hold of the things and so forth because it's so vivid and so, and the image is there. And it's so, but no, God's Word is still relevant today, just as it was when Moses was teaching them this portion of Scripture right here as well. Just as valuable, just as modern, just as up to date, because it's alive. This is God's Word. It's God breathed. And so God says, this is all that you need. It is right here. And so he says, you have the responsibility. If your family is going to thrive, you have to fulfill the responsibility by teaching God's Word in your home as well. Finally, how can you build? You say, about time. Finally, you must use the formula prescribed for the family. God has a plan. Okay? God has a plan. He's provided you with the foundational stones by which to build a strong home. How are you to teach those truths? First of all, you need to teach them convincingly. Look at verse 6. He says, and these words, and then he finishes that verse with, in thy heart. And so this must be something that you believe in. It must be something that you practice, but it also must be something that you promote as well. If it's not, we just might as well hang it up and forget it. Just go the way of the world. Because he says we're to do this convincingly as well. It's got to be genuine in our lives. You can tell those that are fake and those that are half-hearted. This has got to be something that we own, we possess, and we believe, and we share it. And so if not, you know, you might as well hang it up, because you'll never convince them with a do as I say, not as I do attitude and practice in life. You cannot send your children to Sunday school while you sit home. You cannot expect the church to fulfill your responsibility. The Sunday school teacher, as I said earlier, is only there to reinforce what's already been taught in the home. The church is no substitute for your responsibility. You got to live it out in the home so that they can live it out in the world, because they desperately need it. Second, you need to teach them consistently as well. Look at verse 7 again. And it says, and thou shalt teach them diligently. The word diligently there means just that. It means diligently, with all that you have, again and again and again. Do it intentionally is what it's to do. It pointedly. This is my job. This is my occupation. I'm not just to feed and house them, but it's my job as well to teach them the Word of God. And so I've got to make this a priority in my life. I've got to build truth upon truth. Over and over again, consistently looking for opportunities in life that come along to apply to God's Word. That whatever comes into our life, I use that as a tool, as an instrument to teach the truth about God's Word. We're constantly looking for it. God says, I will show you great and mighty things, even in the little things of life. And you can say, well, I remember One time we went to McDonald's, and Thomas was, I don't know, 4 or 5. And so he wanted ice cream cone. And it was a dollar. I gave him a dollar. That's back when they were dollars. And the machine worked. and he says, will you come in? And I said, no, I'm going to sit right here. No, you got to come with me. No, you go. And so he did. And he went on over there. And he got his ice cream cone. And he come back, and he was just smiling from ear to ear. And he was just so proud of himself. First time he'd ever done anything. I could see him the whole time. And that's what I told him. I said, son, I can see you the whole time. You know, that's the way God is in our life. He gives us something to do, and he watches over us. Even though we're afraid to step out, God is still watching over us. That's
what he's talking about here. Diligently looking for every opportunity to teach the truth of God and apply it to their lives. It's not a matter of, you know, okay, fine, you know, Billy said I gotta teach you and I'm gonna do it, and so we're gonna spend 24 hours the next day and we're gonna go all the way through this book and we're gonna do it. He's not talking about that. He's talking about practically applying the Word of God as you possess it and as you practice it, and you're now going to promote it and you do it diligently. This is my job in life. By the way, you can do this with those around you as well. Not just in home, but with everyone. And share with them the truths of God's Word in these applications as they come about. But again, too many of us start and we quit and we start and we quit. We've got to be diligent about teaching them. Third, you need to teach them creatively. Verse 8 and 9. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and in thy gates. And so the Jews made little boxes, and they would put God's Word into it, you know, and they would have wristlets, and they have the little box there, and they would put a verse of Scripture in there, and they would also put one band around their head, you know, and they walk around with the Scripture here. But that's why God mentions the fact that you need to hide it in your heart, because they had gotten to the point to where they would only wear it, and that was it. But there is some application here is what he's trying to teach. And on the doorposts, you know, that on the doorposts when you're walking out of the house, there's another one there. You see, when you go out and when you come back in, there's a verse of Scripture there again, you know, right there. And so it's constantly right there in front of you the whole time. But it needs to get in here eventually, okay? But what he's saying here is that they were to put it before them, make sure that they're aware of it again and again and again. Every time that they went from room to room, every time they left the house, they went through the gate, they would be reminded of God's Word, you see. And so what we need to do, I think, some of us, we need to take down some knickknacks and put up displays of God's Word. Put some verses, some stickies, you know, on the mirror when they get up in the morning, and there's a verse, you know, and you've kind of broken it down and put it for them, and there it is, you know. By the way, husbands, you can do that for the wife as well. Take a sticky and write down, you know, husband, submit to your wife and stick it on the mirror. Let me know how that works out for you. And but you can do that. You can you do those types of things as well. And just so that they can be familiar. They're going through a hard day, and so, you know, just write out a verse of Scripture that might be good for them, and just put it in a sticky, put it in there, you know, in whatever. And so it, always keeping it before us. Use every means available. We've got to be creative about this. And finally, we need to teach them clearly as well. Thou shalt teach them, verse 7, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. It's better to teach them clearly in their level, or depending on who you're working with at that time, is to make sure that when it's better to always to apply it, because now they can understand it. Sort of like the parables, you know, that Jesus, they knew what he was talking about. They could understand it then, you see. And so we've got to teach it clearly. We can't just get out the King James and thou hast, you know, created the heavens and the earth and all the things therein, you see, and just keep going on and on, right? And so that's not what he's talking about here. And so what we need to understand this, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain who build it. You know what happens to a generation that do not grow up in a family that's learning, living, and loving the Lord? Watch the news. Take a look on the news. You'll find where your home will go if you don't teach the Word of God. When we teach from God's Word, we must teach them how to put it into practice and why they should put it into practice and what they expect when they do put it into practice as well. And so we must be sold out serving Jesus before we will find Him working in and through our lives. Moms, dads, aunts, uncles, grandma, grandpa, how's it going? Are you building your family God's way today? Does your home need some improvement today? There's things that, you know, it's just tense. There's no peace. And I was in a home just this week, and the gentleman said, you know, Bill, he said, there's just no peace. I got no peace at all. And I tried to explain to him about the Prince of Peace and how he can provide the peace that this world doesn't understand that he gives us, and give your life to Christ. And so your home, you know, watch what he can do in your home. He'll take over, you know, and it's like COVID. It spreads, you know. But in a much better way. And so that's what's needed in your life as well. And so, do we need home improvement today in our own homes? Have we abandoned our responsibility to promote the Word of God? Not only in our homes, but wherever we go to work, wherever we shop, we go, is to promote especially the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ, how He died on Calvary's cross so that we might be forgiven when we call out to Him. Make sure, examine yourself to see, just like that home inspection that my buyers have, it's up to you. Moses has given us the report. What's the result? What needs to be changed? What needs to be set on fire? If you need help today, you can come. You can pray. He'll hear you today. Stand with me.